I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. This hour, we'll delve back into the Bears and the Packers game from last night to open up the NFL season. Trubisky looks awful. Rodgers, okay, gets the win no matter what. It's fine as long as you get that road victory in the division, but plenty to work on for both teams. Also, Antonio Brown could be suspended by the Raiders for week number one. All of that coming up this hour on the show. Mraz has got his NFL picks and his food of the week. We're talking college football right now as one of the best matchups of tomorrow is going to happen in Death Valley. Clemson, the defending national champions, take on a very frisky Texas A&M squad. What to expect between the Tigers and the Aggies? Joining us here on the DA Show is our good friend Roddy Jones, analyst for the ACC Network. He's got the call of South Florida and Georgia Tech tomorrow at 2 Eastern on the ACC Network. Roddy, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great, bud. Always good to catch up with you. And when you look at last week's win over Georgia Tech by Clemson, Trevor Lawrence was pretty underwhelming, but didn't need to be great because they ran the football so well. What does it matter at all that Lawrence did not set the world on fire in week number one?
No, I don't think it does. I mean, ultimately, you want to win in week one and you want to get some work in. And I don't think Trevor played terrible. He missed some throws. Had the two interceptions, one of them at the end of the first half. But he did a good job moving. He ran the ball well. And ultimately, that's what you want out of your quarterback. Didn't have a lot of opportunities all in all because they ran the ball so well, because they were so overwhelming. But I think it's fine. I actually think it's probably pretty good for him to hear some criticism after everyone over the course of the offseason has just been praising him as the best thing, you know, we've ever seen in college football. So it's probably good for him to have some motivation coming into this week to continue to get better, continue to grind. Not that it wasn't there, but it never hurts just to have a little bit extra going into a big game like this.
Do you think Kellen Mond, who played well last year in the matchup against Clemson in College Station, can play well on the road this year, well enough to try to get a win?
Yeah, I think he'll play well. I mean, Kellen Mond's a really good player. The thing is, neither one of these teams are really tested in week one. So there's a lot of questions all around. You know, Clemson, if you're looking at that secondary, they weren't really tested against a Georgia Tech team without that top-end talent that Texas A&M is going to have at receiver. When you look at this Texas A&M offensive line, they weren't really tested against Texas State to see what their offensive line is going to be. I mean, we think it's going to be pretty good, but until you face guys with the talent of this Clemson defensive line, you just don't know. So it's going to be about more than just Kellen Mond. But I think he's going to play well. Look, the dude's a baller. He plays well in big situations. The issue is the guy on the other side, Trevor Lawrence, is a baller too. And in big situations, he's come up huge for this Clemson team.
What do we take away from last year's performance between these two clubs? It was an entertaining game. Two quarterbacks going at it, and yet here we find ourselves with a pretty big spread. Last year was 28-26, advantage Clemson, But now moving forward, do we think we can take anything away from last year's matchup into this year?
Well, this Clemson team, especially on offense, was a different – well, I guess on both sides of the ball, but was a completely different team. I mean, Trevor Lawrence barely played in this game. Justin Ross played one snap. Travis Etienne had eight carries. And I can promise you that each one of those guys is going to play a significant amount more in this game. And those are the three – probably the three best players on this offense. You know, the only one that you would say played a lot was T. Higgins. And when you have to take away one guy and it's T. Higgins at the top, then that's one thing. But when you've got T. Higgins and DeAndre Overton and Justin Ross and Travis Etienne and Trevor Lawrence, that's completely different. So I'm not surprised to see the spread open up as much as it has. Clemson's at home. They're completely different, more explosive offense than they were a year ago with Kelly Bryant at quarterback. And defensively, they're completely different as well. Obviously, that defensive line is gone. I was actually pretty impressed by the Clemson linebackers. And with the exception of the long pass given up to the end, which happened against a starting safety in Kayvon Wallace, I was impressed with the secondary as well. I think Tanner Muse played well. I think the corners played well. So, against what they played against, I was very impressed by Clemson. So I'm not really surprised to see that spread open up. And it's just because we know these guys. We've seen them against Alabama, which is the class of that conference and really the class of college football for much of the last decade. We've seen what they can do, and they were fantastic. So because they're at home, because they're going to have that energy, I would anticipate Clemson pulls away at the end and wins the football game as well.
Roddy Jones, ACC Network analyst, joins us in advance of this big one, A&M and Clemson. But let's look at elsewhere in the ACC. Last week, Boise State comes into Tallahassee and pushes around Florida State in the second half, shuts them out in their own building, walks out with a business victory. And so now a lot of questions surrounding the Seminoles. They'll take on Louisiana Monroe, a chance to get right this weekend. They're favored by more than 20 points, more than three touchdowns. But how concerning was last week for Florida State?
Last week is only concerning if next week doesn't go well. So next week, Florida State's at the University of Virginia, who had a big win at Pittsburgh last week. And if Florida State starts 1-2, there's going to be cause for concern. There's going to be a lot of anxious people around Tallahassee if this program is 1-2 after three games. So I always took the approach that you got to have two of the first three. The most likely to me were Boise and ULM. Now that you've lost to Boise, I don't see how this Florida State team is going to be able to rebound if they are 1-2 after the University of Virginia next week. So I'd expect them to look good. I don't think it'll be much of a challenge this week, but next week at Virginia is the one I've got circled. It's the one Florida State fans should really start to evaluate their team after.
I want to talk to you about Willie Taggart because I actually like Willie. We've had him on the show before. What he did before he got to Oregon was all super impressive. But when he pointed at dehydration this past week after the loss to Boise State and then tried to backtrack and say, well, I wasn't talking about the Boise State game. I was talking about going forward. To me, I didn't buy it. It sounded, to me, lame because if you listen back to his quotes, he was specifically talking about the Boise State game. What do you think? Was it much ado about nothing for the media and fans about the dehydration bit, or was there something there that showed that Taggart might be in over his head?
Well, I think when you look at the context of all the comments from the week, it is concerning because initially you had the two comments about them not bringing pressure on Hank Bachmeier. He had the comment that basically said, you know, when we brought pressure, we were really good. We didn't bring enough pressure, in especially in the second half. And that seemed to me to be a little shot at Harlan Barnett, the defensive coordinator, because Willie's obviously not calling the defense. So who is he talking to there? And then there was the comment about not running the ball enough in the second half, not giving the ball to those two really talented running backs. And I think me, along with everybody who covers Florida State that I've talked to, saw those as maybe not shots, but pointed comments towards the coordinators. So if you take the pointed comments at the coordinators and then combine them with the comments about hydration, there's at least a lack of awareness of how the media is going to perceive those comments, and which is concerning when you're at a place like Florida State. Look, this is the biggest job that Willie Taggart has had. Oregon is a really good job. It's not a blue blood on the level of Florida State. And it's not in the region of the country that is football crazed like Florida State is. I mean, everything you say at Florida State is going to be taken by these writers and the people that talk about it in the media in the Southeast and analyzed, whereas at University of Oregon, maybe you can get away with that stuff a little bit more. I don't know. I've never lived in the Pacific Northwest, but I would assume that people in Portland don't care a ton about what the head coach of the University of Oregon is, the sidewalk fan. But people really care in Atlanta, in Miami, in all the major markets, what the head coach of Florida State says when you drop a game to Boise State where your team just looks gassed, is cramping on the sidelines, and you played 108 plays over the course of the game on defense. People are going to really care about that. So if nothing else, it shows a lack of awareness on how his comments are going to be perceived by Willie Taggart, which to me is a little concerning.
Roddy Jones, ACC Network analyst, joins us this morning on the show. Finally, Mack Brown and UNC gets a pretty big victory over South Carolina, in-state rival in week number one. And now they'll try to follow that up coming up tomorrow against Miami at night, which is a tough one for them. But what do you think Mack Brown brings to that program already paying dividends?
Well, I think he's brought a certain swagger that you didn't see a year ago. And you see how much it means to him. I mean, this means a lot to Mack Brown. He is there to turn North Carolina into what they were the first time he was there, which is the top five program by the time he left. And so the trials and tribulations that these guys went through really meant a lot to him to see them get that win. So I think Mack Brown has brought a confidence. I think he's brought a lot of credibility to that program. I think the guys have really bought into what he's selling. And when you get a win like that, it really helps guys say, okay, what we're doing is right. It gives you that confidence to allow you to take on a Miami team, which I think is a better football team. Obviously, they lose a week ago, but Sam Howell is going to face a defense unlike the defense he saw last week that is really, really good. I mean, that South Carolina defense is talented in some spots, but this Miami defense is elite, and we saw him against University of Florida really stymie a veteran quarterback in Felipe Franks. So it's going to be a test for Sam Howell, but Mack Brown brings a confidence to this team, which we really haven't seen. Honestly, we really didn't see it that much under Larry Fedora. It was a little bit different. It was very offense heavy, but this team looks balanced, and it looks like a team that believes that it can win.
Roddy Jones, our friend here from the ACC Network, he's got the call tomorrow as Georgia Tech takes on USF tomorrow at 2 o'clock. It's going to be 2 o'clock Eastern time on ACC Network, the new ACC Network available so many different places. So make sure your cable provider has it for this college football season. 2 p.m. Eastern time, ACC Network, South Florida, Georgia Tech, Roddy Jones on the call. It's always good to catch up, my man. Thank you so much for doing it. We'll do it again here soon, I bet.
Always great. Appreciate you having me on.
You got it. Roddy Jones, our guest this morning here on the show. When we come back, NFL picks. Mraz with his up-the-gut debut for 2019 and his first football food of the week. We'll also look at last night's Packers 10-3 snooze fest win over the Bears. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Get zapped while the sun is out.
Hey, buddy, how you doing? How you doing? You're ticklish today? Ooh, how you doing? Tickle, tickle, tickle. Oh, who's the Bubba's in the car?
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. GEICO.com. Watch the show, won't you, at WatchDA.com. The Wizard of WatchDA. Andrew Kaplan pulling levers, pressing buttons, and making things look overall beautiful on the WatchDA.com simulcast. Watch it anywhere, anytime, for free. WatchDA.com. And the simulcast is back for Sunday morning football as well, so you can watch Sunday morning football on your Sunday mornings preparing for an NFL Sunday. Mraz has made no friends around here at the offices with his rant yesterday about how he's a leader of the locker room, that members of the staff, quote, idolize him, that he works as hard as anybody, maybe harder. He has made no friends. And I tweeted out, CBS Sports Radio tweeted it out, the video of his rant, really done by the Wizard of WatchDA.com, Andrew Kalpin, because he knows exactly what the audience wants to see. And I retweeted that, and let me tell you the friendly fire that Mraz took from fellow co-workers around here, both current and past. Not long ago, Mraz, you said, DA, do you hate me? Because it feels like everyone hates me. And I said, I don't hate you, Mraz, but I know that a lot of people do. And yesterday, you said, everyone loves me. People idolize me. Everyone loves me. Well, we had former employees around here. Kenny Brock, Adam Gracia, a.k.a. Noodles, who used to produce the old Chris Moore, Brian Jones show. We had Jay Berman, Mike Carver from the Scotty Farrell on the Bench show. We had Brian Monzo from the Mike Francesa show, WFAN. We had all of these people weighing in, a wild and eclectic amount, an array of personalities from all years here at CBS Sports Radio. And to a man, they all shredded you, questioned your ego, and said, this is a lie.
We know it's not a lie. Perhaps I went a little overboard. I think there, what you had there is a lot of people just not comfortable with the, you know, and realizing maybe time has passed them by in the clubhouse and they should be doing a better job of bringing things together like I am. And again, I know that sounds egotistical.
You think?
I know a lot of people will take that the wrong way, but no, I mean, again, you're talking to the wrong people. You're talking to people that are supposed to be on my level that are not doing the same job I am. I think if you talk to a lot of the guys' part-time jobs around here, a lot of the youngins, a lot of the diaper D-aliens, they will come to you at your feet and say, we lost without Mraz. I mean, this is the guy we need to be. They're not trying to be Mike Carver.
Well, I'm glad that you said that because we have a diaper D-alien right now running the board this morning, Connor Green. Connor, would you define Mraz as somebody that people idolize and that you young guys around the staff say, we want to be like Mraz?
I think a lot of people like Mraz. A lot of people think Mraz is funny. Mraz is a personable guy. But idolize is a ridiculously strong word.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think you can find one part-timer around here that would say that they idolize Mraz. They might like Mraz. They might think he's a good guy. But nobody idolizes Mraz.
There you go.
All I know is Connor Green asked me to listen to a demo of his. I listened. I didn't see other people listening. I gave him feedback. That's a leader. That's somebody you should idolize.
Does it mean you are idolized? Does it mean
why would he ask for my input on it?
You think that everybody that asks you an input on anything idolizes you?
Well, I think they value my thoughts.
Well, that's a little different than idolize.
No, I think those two go hand in hand.
I think Mraz, he's thinking that us valuing his opinion is the same as idolizing. Like, you can ask for somebody's advice and think that they know a lot about the business, but idolize means, like, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, Sean Mraz is the greatest person ever.
And you're on a totally different plane professionally.
Right. Just above career-wise. Everybody else.
Yeah.
No, I think that's why they idolize me, because I don't think I'm above everybody else. I am every intern. I am every board op. I'm every tape op. I'm every producer. I'm every part-timer. I am everybody.
Then why were you yawning today during the show?
Because I was working my tail off till midnight.
Oh, watching football.
Yeah. Coming up with thoughts. Coming up with opinions.
Coming up with thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what's your thought on last night, big guy?
My thought is I don't think Matt Nagy should have sat everybody in the preseason. I think Mitchell Trubisky is going to take a major step backwards. I think the Bears are going to finish in last place. And I think while everybody's tooting the horn of the Packer defense, I think that offense was very alarming. And I think there's a good chance we saw the two third and fourth place teams in the NFC North last night.
You think Bears are last place in the NFC North?
Packers third. Give me a Lions winner, a Vikings second place.
Those are the thoughts.
Those are my thoughts. I collected all of that, then got 5 hours sleep again. Hard hat on, Long Island Railroad, away we come.
Okay. Let's get to more Mraz's NFL picks. It is time for Up the Gut.
Huffiness with football. Mraz gives you his NFL picks every week. It's Up the Gut, only on the DA Show.
I am happy to report we go into, I think, season number 7 of Mraz's NFL picks and Up the Gut debuts this week. You can read through his entire full-length, in-depth breakdown of the NFL every single week by going to cbssportsradio.com. The link is up. It's always a good read, and we go to the picks. Titans and Browns. We had Jim Nance on the show yesterday. He's actually going to be on the call, him and Romo, for Titans Browns. Who would have ever thought? In this game in Cleveland, the new Browns open up as 5.5-point favorites. And Mraz, you're staying away from C-Town.
Yeah, this is the classic. I got to see it until I believe it. 5.5 points is a very big number, again, for a team that won 7 games last year. And everybody bought on the hype train, rookie head coach. What a lot of people fail to realize, as much as Marcus Mariota has struggled, the Titans have been consistently just above mediocre the last 3 years.
I think that's a fair way to typify them.
They're always in the playoff mix. They're never going to be in the Super Bowl mix, but they're going to win half their games. And this is a spot right off the bat, week one, and you heard Adam Lefko earlier in the show mention it. The Browns' offensive line, chance to be a dumpster fire. Mike Vrabel leading that Tennessee defense. They can get after the quarterback, put a little pressure, and make things interesting for Baker Mayfield. And how that team deals with a little frustration coming from defenses on the other side is going to be something to raise your eyebrow at. Do I think Tennessee necessarily wins the game? They sure could. But do I think the Browns win this game by more than 5 points? Heck no. And also something to keep your eye on, Austin Siebert, the kicking situation for Cleveland, that could be an Achilles heel all year long. I don't trust the Browns all of a sudden to go win games by touchdowns or more yet. Give me the Titans getting the points week one.
Browns could lose this game. Titans
certainly
could absolutely
could
go in there and win this football game. I'm very tepid as well on all the hype around the Browns. Let me ask you this question, though. If we're saying the Titans are just basically an 8-8 team consistently or a 9-7 team, are they better off with Mike Vrabel than Jeff Fisher?
Yes.
I mean, I know Jeff Fisher was a long time ago, but he was renowned as the 800, the 500 guy, 8-8, and that's why they got rid of him.
Because I think Jeff Fisher had a lot more talent than Mike Vrabel has. I think Mike Vrabel brought a lot more out of his talent last year than most, and I don't like Marcus Mariota as a quarterback. I just don't. I think he's mediocre, and you need to be better at that position in the NFL.
Didn't we see that stat, though, that Mariota has, like, the third most wins over winning teams behind Breeze and Brady?
But that kind of speaks to what the rest of the Titans have done. I don't think that's anything necessarily Marcus Mariota has done.
Dolphins and Ravens. Miami begins its Brian Flores era, year number 2, with Lamar Jackson and company. This one is going to be in Miami. The Ravens are favored by a touchdown, and guess what? Mraz likes the underdog here.
This is a game I think everybody has circled in knockout pools everywhere. Buyer beware. Bart Scott has said it on the show before. Miami, when they play home games at 1 o'clock, the teams that get into South Beach the night before, they're a little lulled to sleep early, especially a team with a young quarterback like Lamar Jackson.
It's going to be brutally hot
brutally
down there as well.
Brutally hot.
High 90s.
All about conditioning and all that goes with it. The Ravens, I think, are being a little underappreciated going into the year. But you know what? That's a defense that's going to have to learn to lead without C.J. Mosley, without Eric Weddle. This could be a tough test for them. And oh, by the way, Josh Rosen should be starting this game. But let's not forget, Ryan Fitzpatrick with the bad Buccaneers beat the Saints in New Orleans last year on opening week. And that killed everybody in their knockout pools. 7 is a huge number to lay in the spot. Now, everybody's anti-Miami. Give me the Dolphins in the points in a game that I think Baltimore is going to be hanging by the seat of their pants late.
And aren't we primed for a Ryan Fitzpatrick magic, Fitzmagic
right
game?
Fitzmagic in September, it'll happen. He'll die down and the team will stink ultimately, but week one, this has major upset potential.
And you're going after a big game of the weekend as well. You're not just padding your stats here. Patriots and Steelers, the Sunday night game. Pats are favored by 5.5. Mike Tomlin never beats the Pats. They're on the road. So you're figuring Patriots easy.
Stick with what you know in week one. Try to get to the points here. 5.5 points, that's not even a full touchdown. Mike Tomlin never beats the Pats, let alone in Foxborough. I know Antonio Brown's antics are out of there, and people might think that's a net positive for Pittsburgh, but I still have to see what James Washington is on the outside now, taking that next step as a Steelers receiver. Juju Smith-Schuster, with all those stats, let's see you do it when you get double-teamed and have a Bill Belichick game plan against you. I think the Steelers' offense is going to have a lot of trouble scoring points in this game. Give me the Patriots to win this game, maybe by 10+.
I don't think the Steelers are going to be as tough to get points. I don't think the Steelers' offense is going to be as bad as you think that you're talking about. I think they'll be fine this year, but ultimately I agree with you on this game. I think the Patriots win this game relatively easily. Steelers never play well in Foxborough. Mike Tomlin can never beat Bill Belichick. Tom Brady hanging the banner yet again. I think the Patriots win this game easily. Finally, the football food of the week, where Mraz is always undefeated. And I have to give you credit, my good friend. You're actually going with a non-carb item for your football food of the week in week one.
I promised you fruit. I shall give you fruit. I am going with a little sweet chili chicken skewer here. Now, the beauty of September football is in much of the northern parts of this country, of the hemisphere, if you will,
yeah. It
is still warm out. I know this doesn't matter for the Californians, the Arizonians, the Floridians. We know that it's warm there all the time, and you guys could grill anytime. But we get inside, we shiver, we put on those crock pots late, so why not take advantage of some grilling opportunities and break out, cubing up some grilled chicken, marinating it in, I prefer a King's Hawaiian sweet chili glaze kind of sauce, and dicing up or cubing up some pineapple. Get your skewer sticks, you can get them at the local market, get them at a Costco, get them at a beach, you name the place, you get them. You put chicken, pineapple, chicken. Four chickens, three pineapples. That's a nice thick skewer. You throw them on the grill. That sauce and everything cook nice. But stay on top of them. You gotta rotate them about every 3 minutes or so because you want them to cook even. The last thing you want is that pineapple burning and losing that juice to the bottom of the grill. But this is great because when they come out, you eat it off the stick. Is there anything better than food you eat with your hands? I think not. No fork and knife required. Chicken skewers, and it's healthier because the light, the fluffiness, the sweetness, the tangness. Grilled chicken, grilled pineapple. Let's rock. Let's roll. Let's get week one started. You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this. I'll drop dead. I will drop dead without those burritos.
Mraz's football food of the week is always entertaining. Did you just teach the country where to buy skewers and the order with which to put the food on the skewer?
Well, let's be honest. A skewer is not a bread, milk, or egg. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of portions to this listener base who's never bought a skewer in their life. They might be saying, where do I get a skewer, Mraz? Do I look in the Betty Crocker aisle? Where do I go? And I'm just telling you, these stores will have them.
Every grocery store ever has skewers. Ever.
Okay, D.A., I know that and you know that.
Well, you're sending them to BJ's.
Not every place has a Publix. Not every place has a Stop and Shop. Not every place has a Giant. You've been all over the country. There's different supermarkets everywhere. Everybody's got a BJ's.
But just say, go to your grocery store and get skewer. Every grocery store ever has had skewers.
Maybe I'm trying to play for a sponsorship here, all right? Let it be.
Also, did you tell everybody the order with which to put things on skewers?
Chicken, pineapple, chicken, pineapple, chicken, pineapple, chicken.
Well, because you want one more chicken than you want pineapple. Oh, you don't want an even split.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. That's what it's all about. Okay. Just let me handle the food here, all right?
And Sean knows this, but for the first time skewer folks in the audience, if you're buying wooden skewers, I would suggest soaking them in water for about a half an hour before you put them on the grill.
Good tip.
Then they don't burn on the grill themselves.
Right. Yep, that's a very good tip.
You're welcome.
Football food of the week and your NFL picks, all part of Mraz's Up the Gut blog each and every week, available at CBSSportsRadio.com. Friedman, Super Dave, went 3-0 with his college picks last week. Mraz finally has some fire behind him because we know Huge Freeze didn't provide any last year with this college football nonsense. When we come back here on the show, Target Demo Friday, we'll read through your target demos and get to your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I'm all about DA. Very smart, very talented. Love the kid's process. Works it hard. Cares about the show. Grinds. It's about the right stuff, man. And he's a good dude.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
42 minutes past the hour. Thank you, Jim. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. As always, you can watch the show on YouTube after we're done off of the air. Every single day on YouTube, you can watch the best of video clips of the DA show, available on YouTube every single day. And that'll include Sunday morning football clips as well. So it's time for our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Tim in Illinois asks, DA, what did you think about Trubisky last night? I know people have thought about him as an MVP candidate, but I didn't see it. I'm worried about my Bears. Tim, I didn't see it either, but I never saw it. I think Trubisky can be a fine, serviceable starting quarterback. I have always worried about Trubisky being a star starting quarterback. And when you draft a guy number two overall, and when you trade collateral to move up to number two to get him, you are convinced he's going to be a star. I was convinced Deshaun Watson was going to be a star in that draft. I wasn't convinced Patrick Mahomes was. It turns out Mahomes is the slam dunk superstar, and Watson might get there as well. Trubisky's got a long way. And for the Chicago Bears, that defense played well enough to win last night. I'm sure it gutted them defensively to know they gave up one touchdown to Aaron Rodgers and still lost. That defense is going to be really good this season yet again. Impossible not to with Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, and company. But the difference is that last year the Bears created a ton of turnovers, won close games, didn't need Trubisky to carry the squad. You can't do that year after year after year in today's NFL. You've got to have a quarterback that can help you win games. Trubisky's won one football game in his entire NFL career when he's thrown 35 or more passes. He lost again doing that last night. He beat the Cardinals last year, the worst team in football. That means that when you put the ball in the hands of Trubisky to win it, you can't. He can't. So is Trubisky the worry coming out of last night for the Bears? Absolutely. It's part Nagy, it's part Trubisky, but ultimately Trubisky has got to execute the game plan that Nagy puts in, and I don't think Trubisky did anywhere near that last night against maybe an underratedly good defense for the Packers, but certainly not an unbeatable defense of the Packers. Target Demo Friday, boys and girls. Let's hear from you guys.
It's a three-hour black hole block party. Here's what our listeners are doing as they connect to the mothership.
Jason's in Orlando, listening on radio.com. My second son is turning eight today, birthday party weekend. Happy birthday to Cade. All right, baby. Happy birthday, Cade. On Twitter, AZ and Wisco, listening on radio.com. The missus is headed up north with her girlfriend, so it's me and the kids at a soccer game, swim practice, golf, rock climbing, perhaps a little college football as well. Hashtag living the dream. That's exhausting.
You are a machine of death.
David tweets, I'm listening on the radio.com app from beautiful Dayton, Ohio, where the great Welcome Stadium is located. Hashtag Target Demo Friday.
All right.
HIC on the MIC. I'm sitting in a new employee training class in Cocoa Beach, listening on radio.com. I mean, doesn't everyone want to sit in a class like this on a Friday? Chances are, no. Beam me up! He also says prayers to the Bahamas, no doubt. Hog Aaron is in Bentonville, Arkansas, 92.1 FM. The ticket, sweet! Paul tweets, I'm spending this weekend raising money for the Autism Speaks Walk in Kansas City on September the 21st. Smoking meats, drinking beers, preparation for the Chiefs season opener. Hashtag Reed's Renegades.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
What I wouldn't give to smoke a little meat, drink a little beer, and be in Kansas City for a Chiefs season opener. Those are beautiful days, my friends. Moose, as usual, catching the podcast later on, but doing 500 miles delivering parts all over the Badger State. Looking forward to Scani football and the start of what's sure to be a terrible Dolphin season. Oh, yeah. And making the first football food of the week.
I'll drop dead. I will drop dead without those burritos.
Ray is in Muggy, San Diego, listening on Apple Music. Thank God I have a driving job. Listen to this show. Definitely makes the drive and my day better. Hashtag beam me up.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Patrick's a 92.1 The Ticket. Listening to the mothership, Fayetteville, Arkansas. Not Trash Tuesday, but Mitchell Trubisky looked as if he had just climbed out of a cave after hibernation. All disoriented and out of sorts.
All right.
Bayou Bear is in NOLA on XM, Sirius XM 206, sitting here idolizing Mraz, how he is the hardest working person at CBS Sports and works really, really long hours.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Hans is on radio.com in South Carolina from Dorian, not blowing away my house to Seattle starting their season this Sunday. I'm super hyped up now to celebrate the first Seahawks Blue Friday of the year with my wife on a bright post-hurricane sunny day. Hashtag Target Demo Friday.
Oh, okay.
Jonathan's on SiriusXM 206 in California enjoying a victory Friday. Poor Bears. Can't wait to watch A&M Clemson and hear the Sunday morning show. Hashtag who needs preseason? Hashtag idol producer needs some sleep.
Chubbo.
Rob's traveling from Kansas City to Bentonville, Arkansas, stopping off at a quick trip to get my sweet tea fix and to fire off this tweet. Hashtag Chiefs Kingdom. Hashtag you need to eat like this.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Sweet tea is the way to go, especially if you got a gas station that can deliver it. Then you know you're doing something right. Hit me up on Facebook as well. Jerry tweets, SiriusXM, I'm in New York listening to Pine Bush, or heading to Pine Bush, with the lovely bride, a huge D-alien, still looking for Hurricane Jen in my neck of the woods.
Come on, Damon. Wake up.
Who knows where Hurricane Jen is? Nancy Mraz writes on Facebook, I idolize Sean.
Chubbo.
Wow. Your mom idolizing you, the Chubbo.
She gave birth to me. She's idolizing me. And I was a C-section.
This is where your ego comes from. Stroked by your mom. John tweets, I'm listening on the CBS Sports app in Las Vegas. Hey, DA, I'm dropping off my son at school and going to switch the job at the surgery center. Your show always makes my day start off feeling good and doing well.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Thank you, sir. Kyle tweets, I'm sadly stuck in a surgery room installing lights, but somehow still not working as hard as Mraz. Permission to board the mothership. Beam me up. Get me out of here on a Friday. Sing on my ride home to the Apple Podcasts. Rick is on radio.com in Topeka as I go through chemo. Hashtag kicking cancer's butt. There you go, Rick. We're with you, baby. Brandon tweets, DA, listening on my Echo Dot through radio.com in Tacoma. Going to work, then watch my Redskins beat the Eagles this weekend. Hashtag, can I get a beam up? Jimmy tweets, Mraz is by far the best part of this show. Don't say that.
Itchy nipple chub, bro.
Brian tweets, I'm on 99.1 in Clarkston, Washington, getting ready to broadcast a high school football game tonight. Hashtag, he clears it. Hashtag, beam me up. Mike is in Pittsburgh, listening on Apple Music, delivering food, hoping the teams I bet on delivering me some All About the Money, D.A. Glorious NFL weekend.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y, D.A.
And John tweets, I'm in Erie, 96.3 the score, getting ready for some glucose.
Puffiness with sodium.
Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. What is this again?
This is yesterday towards the end of the show, the idolizing.
Oh, this is where this all stems from.
Are you okay? You can't remember? It's just too long a work week for you?
I'm not the one yawning. Yesterday, Mraz set the CBS Sports Radio newsroom on fire with this.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I'm putting together sound check. I'm making sure the damn reads get done. Sometimes wrong, but I'm there trying to make sure they get done. I'm booking the guests. Sometimes we don't have any, but a lot of times we do. I'm doing all of that. I'm bringing in donuts for the crew today to tell them, hey, happy football season. I'm the man.
Mraz is a spitter. I can't respect that.
The clubhouse loves me. I'm a locker room leader. And then afterwards, I go and lead on another station as a producer. Nobody in this building works harder than me, or at least has more jobs and appears to work harder than me.
They're afraid to be great.
You're really in over your skis now. I'm the man. Nobody works harder than me. I'm a clubhouse leader. You know all of those things are questionable at best.
No, the locker room loves me, absolutely adores me, and I accept that. I accept what comes with being a leader.
You're my roommate, bro.
A couple of weeks ago, you said on this show, DA, do you hate me? Because it seems like everybody hates me
right
here.
It was a bad week.
And I said, I don't hate you. And you said, I think everybody hates me.
Because again, what comes with a leader is people look at you. And if you start letting them down, it's going to be a letting run. I am a leader amongst producers here. I am idolized because I was somehow given an opportunity to host shows.
You know what loose lips do, right?
People, the young kids. kids that walked in this building. They asked me, Rez, how do you do it? How do you manage to produce two shows and then get fill-in jobs on the holidays and weekends? You're what I aspire to be. How did you get there? And I have to sit down like Santa reading, the night before Christmas. And I got to explain to these guys what I had to go through working the overnights, working the holidays, and how I got to this point, how I got to be me.
Mraz, it was like it should have been delivered on a silver platter.
So because I'm sorry if I didn't have time for pre-production meetings with the Watch the A-Stream, but I'm a little busy working my 8.5 hours a day. Again, Long Island Railroad commuting back and forth. I'm a grizzled veteran around here.
Pounds of rotting food and toxic sludge from your body.
Quote, I'm idolized. You actually said those words. I'm idolized.
I am. You ask any young lad that comes in here. I'm getting cards from interns on the way out to the Mraz. I wouldn't have been able to do this without you. I'm taking the time to learn these people's name. Everybody walks past and they couldn't even sneeze at them. I'm that guy. I am absolutely adoring this place fall apart without.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
That is all so dangerously inaccurate. I'm that guy. Matthew tweets, I'm on radio.com listening in Dallas, Georgia while cutting grass, still in disbelief that Mraz said that people idolize him. Hashtag beam me up. Thanks to the idol, American Idol, Sean Mraz, your executive producer of the DA show. Thanks to Connor Green, Diaper D'Alien, on the Wheels of Steel. He's turning to his right, idolizing the man next to him. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com, a true wizard of what he does. And thanks to Andrew Bogish, a kind sir on your headlines. I'll see you for Sunday morning football. Be there 10 a.m. Eastern time right here on CBS Sports Radio on Sunday. The Mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.